Thank you, Carol. I think there was more people at the 8:30 service than there is here, so the word must have spread rapidly that this was not going to be a good sermon. I have been privileged to have given two previous sermons, one February 19th of 2012 when I had a top 10 list, and another time, June 16th, 2017, when I talked about friends. Now, do any of you remember those sermons? Which one would you like to hear? Well, we are going to talk about work, in case you haven't guessed it already. With Labor Day being just 36 days away, work is something we all know about, yet perhaps not in a way I'll explore today. Let me say that in the instructions that Dr. Fancher left for those of us who will be preaching in his absence, he advised us to read it as opposed to work from an outline so that we don't stray too much. That's not the way I usually like to do these things, but I will comply with his wishes, so I'm going to read most of this. So let's talk about work. We'll do a quick historical review. And the first recorded word work in the Bible comes from Genesis chapter 2, verse 2. And it reads, "The seventh day God had finished the work." Keep in mind, whenever I say work, that it's tied into all this. God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day he rested from all his work, and God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. For mankind in the early days, it was more about survival than work. There's that word again. You were either a hunter or a gatherer, just to get enough to sustain your life. Then as domesticated animals, farming and fishing came into being, work became the norm. Workers were needed to do specific tasks, often from dawn to dusk, 7 days a week. When I visited the Holy Land with Dr. Fancher in 2014, I was struck by how hard that land must have been to work by the early settlers, inhabitants of that area, because of the large number of rocks. Now, you read in the Bible about people being stoned to death, and I always wondered, because we have basically little pebbles around here, but the Holy Land is covered with rocks about this big, which were very easy to hit someone and kill them right away with that. And so it must have taken a tremendous amount of work to clear the land, to make it fertile. The areas that we visited, Jordan and Israel, are just covered with these boulders and rocks all over the place. Very difficult to get a cultivation. Next came the tradesmen. Now, we know that Joseph was a carpenter and Jesus probably assisted him. The work was long and hard with crude tools, but generally confined to a single skill. This continued for more than 1,700 years. I just finished reading David McCullough's new book, The Pioneers, about the settling of Ohio. If you haven't read it, I would encourage you to do so. And it talks about how the New Englanders, after the Revolutionary War, came by wagon across the country, heading west, over the Alleghenies, which had no roads or trails, into a small settlement in Pittsburgh, where they would cut down trees, make flat-bottomed boats, and float down the Ohio River. They landed at the junction of the Muskingum River and started a settlement there, which became known as Marietta, which was incidentally named after Queen Marie Antoinette, who had assisted the Revolutionary War effort. So David writes in his book on page 70, "Spring opened with much activity. The return of traffic on the river," that's the Ohio River, "not only meant the return of food supplies, but the return of the tide of humanity. New immigrants kept arriving in considerable numbers, which meant more farmers to clear more land, but also an increasing supply of skilled carpenters, gunsmiths, saddlers, glassmakers, weavers, bootmakers, blacksmiths, and others, all much in need. But life was still very hard in the wilderness, as you can imagine, particularly for women. On page 71, he writes, "The center of pioneer life was the home where, in the old saying, a woman's work was never done. From first light to setting sun, there were no days off, no vacations." The pioneers had strong work ethic. On page 73, he writes, "Conspicuous loafing of almost any kind, was as yet unknown. Everyone worked, including children. It had to be so for survival. Come spring, there were crops to be sown. Through summer and into fall, there were crops to be harvested, and always more land needed to be worked and cleared. Winter was a struggle in itself." This goes back to biblical times. In 2 Thessalonians 3:10, we read, "If a man will not work, he shall not eat." The 19th century brought the Industrial Revolution and the labor movement, with unions gaining great strength through the 1950s. Work was still hard, but conditions and wages were improving. Labor Day was first established by Congress, and this year surprised me, 1894. I thought it had been much later than that. And it was the result of some coal miners' work stoppages over horrible working conditions. President Grover Cleveland had signed the legislation designating the first Monday in September as a day to honor workers. Post-World War II, we had the low-tech business boom with a surging manufacturing economy and advertising to promote consumer spending. If any of you watched the Netflix series, Mad Men, it's a pretty good picture of what white-collar work was like in New York City in the 50s and 60s, and how advertising became such a big business. Unfortunately, it accurately portrays the low status of working women at that time. In many industries, it was not unusual to stay employed with the same company for your entire working career. That was the case with a company that I'm familiar with, Eastman Kodak in Rochester, New York. You started there and retired from there. Maybe 30 years later, got your gold watch and went on your way with a lifetime pension. At one time, Eastman Kodak had 50,000 employees. But their inability to go from low-tech to high-tech forced them to go into bankruptcy a few years ago. When I was in my teens, tech meant that you went to a trade school in Cleveland, either East Tech or West Tech or Max Hayes. Computer science was unknown. Texts were the books that you studied, not a message on your iPhone. Local talk show host Mike Trevisano says, "I'm living in a world I don't understand." And I agree with that statement. We now have people working from home in their PJs, flex time, online job applications, a dozen or more employers in one lifetime, tremendous fringe benefits, low unemployment, and fabulous starting salaries for graduates in fields like computer sciences, law, medicine, and engineering. The biggest issues involved with work today seem to be time management, burnout, and stress. With your iPhone and computer, you're never free. Years ago, my son Bill was a district manager for a home improvement company. We were trying to get and enjoy a Sunday afternoon together doing a little fly fishing up in Castalia. And he received something like a dozen emails from a company official who wanted answers right away. They weren't important issues. All could have waited until Monday or at any time during the week. It struck me then that the never-ending work week had arrived. Another way that work has changed today is that if you can't work or choose not to work, there is a vast network of governmental social service agencies and nonprofits that will help you. The federal government alone has an astounding 2,100,000 employees. And I guess that the combined state and local government payrolls would probably double or triple that, although I couldn't find any available information. The early days of self-sufficiency have progressed to a work environment that is specialized and protected, yet probably more stressful. On the plus side, working gives us income, a growth in skills and adapting, a sense of belonging to a team. It builds lifelong friendships with fellow workers, suppliers, and clients, and hopefully it gives us pride in personal achievement. There can be great joy in working at something you love, be it music, art, teaching, business, social services, or the Christian field. We can get an enormous sense of accomplishment by working hard, serving others, and helping our community. How many of you are retired? About half. So what happens when we retire? First, note that retiring is not in the Bible. There's no such thing in those times. You worked until you died, or if you were disabled, you begged. Today, there's a growing trend back to not retiring. A recent survey said, and this was from AARP, 1 in 5 people over 65 did not plan to retire. Most were due to lack of savings or, as Glenn pointed out, lack of things to do. But most of us do retire. I did it 13 years ago, and I often wondered how long I could have kept working with all the new technology. So what can we retirees do to keep our minds and bodies active? For me, golf is fun, but I can't do it every day, and you can't do it in the winter, at least around here. Traveling is great, but I find flying very stressful. Spending time with the grandkids is a joy, but my one and only grandchild, a granddaughter, is 24 years old, and she certainly's got her own life. She doesn't need the old guy hanging around. I found the best solution is to find something that you really love to do and try it. If after a while it is not fulfilling, then try something else. It might be gardening. It might be teaching people to read. It might be volunteering here at the church or some community organization like a library or a pet shelter. I think God wants us to work for Him by giving of ourselves. I'm going to repeat that. I think God wants us to work for Him by giving of ourselves to others. Remember that He works through His servants. That's us. Here's a modern parable of what I mean. A millennial is dashing home from his high-tech job, late as usual, when he suddenly remembers that today is his wedding anniversary. As he nears his downtown high-rise condo, he spots a street vendor selling flowers. So he buys a dozen roses, but the vendor has no anniversary cards. His wife greets him at the door, and he gives her the flowers and says, "Happy anniversary, dear." She had just gotten her home herself from her job as a lawyer, and she had seen the same street vendor. She takes the flowers but appears upset. "You forgot our anniversary until the last minute before coming home, which tells me that you didn't work at our relationship. You didn't spend the time and effort to show me you care." I think God feels the same way. Work for Him with effort and as a priority, not just quick and easy. Remember, as stated in the book of Haggai, chapter 2, verse 4, "Do the work, for I am with you. Do the work, for I am with you." In conclusion, the work of our congregation is to have a community of faith, spread the word of Jesus Christ, and serve others. Whether you are young, middle-aged, or seniors, the work, which is an expression of our love, is never finished. I'm going to repeat that. The work of our congregation is to have a community of faith, spread the word of Jesus Christ, and serve others. Whether we are young, middle-aged, or seniors, the work, which is an expression of our love, is never finished. Thank you.